and Sex on Fire for Andrew, preceded by Squeeze and Pulling Muscles from a Shell for Alex. It's 40 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. Seems we're still not getting the message about plastic. An estimated 1.3 billion tonnes of plastic is destinated for our environment, both land and water, by 2040, unless worldwide action is taken. That's according to a global projection of the scale of the problem over the next 20 years. Dr. Costas Velis from the University of Leeds said the number was staggering, but that we had the technology and the opportunity to stem the tide. The report is published in the journal Science. Dr. Velis said it's the first comprehensive assessment of what the picture could be in 20 years' time. It's difficult to picture an amount that large, but if you could imagine laying out all that plastic across a flat surface, it would cover the area of the UK 1.5 times. It's a complex model because plastic is everywhere and in every part of the world. It's different in terms of how they use and deal with it, but this model tries to simplify that reality and come up with the numbers. The team's calculations were based on tracking the production, use and disposal of plastic around the world. The team then created a model to forecast future scenarios. Now, the business as usual scenario was based on the current trend of increasing plastic production and no significant change in the amount of reuse and cycling. Of course, some big businesses are making an effort to stop using plastic. A very good innovation to start using paper bottles by some firms. But governments in general just need to put more pressure on business to find alternative containers to plastic. Even if all feasible action was taken, Dr. Velis explained the study projected there would be 710 million extra tonnes of plastic waste in the environment by 2040. Now, there's no silver bullet solution for the plastic problem, but an overlooked issue that this study highlighted was the fact that an estimated 2 billion people in the global south have no access to proper waste management. They have to just get rid of all their rubbish, so they have no choice but to burn or dump it, said Dr. Velis. Now, despite playing a major role in reducing global plastic waste, the roughly 11 million waste pickers, people who collect and sell reusable materials in low-income countries, often lack basic employment rights and safe working conditions. Sea, Sex and Sun, this is where it all started. Good morning to Oliver, here's Serge Gainsbourg. Time for this morning's comedy, here's a blast of Count Arthur Strong.
Now, they say you'd never forget where you are whenever President Kennedy gets himself assassinated. I am no exception, except in my case. I have forgot where I was. Though if you take that out of the equation, I'm right up there with the rest of you, remembering where President Kennedy was when I was so brutally and needlessly assassinated. And I would say my own personal not being able to forget where I was moment was wherever I was when I went to see that marvellous, marvellous film, The Sound of Mastic. Not Mastic, Music. The Sound of Music. I was, of course, in a cinema, which is where you used to have to go to watch a film in those pre-video recorder days of the early 1690s, which must sound very quaint to all you young ones out there that sit with your mouth open all day staring at your computer screens, giving yourself piles. We, like the early caveman queuing up to see 2001 A Space Odyssey, we actually had to leave the house to watch a film. And I would have probably also had a chalk ice in there as well. That being my preferred cinema-going confection of the day. And for those of you who don't know what a chalk ice is, it's something which is probably best described as a chalk ice. Frankly, I'm appalled you don't know what one of those is. Don't know what they teach you at school these days. Sit up straight and put your hands on the desk where I can see them.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just a quick note to say that I will be off from Monday for 2.5 weeks. Best Henk. What?
Just a quick note from Rob to say that I'll be taking all of August off once again and will return sometime late summer.
Yeah, well, you sent the message twice. Is that because you've been on the glue vine the second time you sent it?
Well, you're not very good at acknowledging messages, are you, to be honest with you? It's a lack of professionalism that shines throughout not only the show, but also your interactions with the top stars.
Thank you very much. That's really nice of you to say that.
Well, I just thought I'd highlight your inefficiencies and therefore you can work on them over the summer. I know it's a reflective time for you where you try to get back to nature, back to basics, and perhaps these are areas that you can work on.
Said the person who's clearing off on holiday for 2.5 weeks.
Come on.
So you've had a month off now. It'll be a month, 4.5 weeks off you will have had.
Based on?
Well, I don't know. You know, you've been in Switzerland for nearly 2 weeks, haven't you?
Working. And yes.
And then you were in lockdown for 2 months before that and didn't go out of the house. Just a quick foray to go clubbing with Chris Grayling, but apart from that, you stayed put, didn't you?
That has not stopped me from spending quality time analysing markets and guiding clients through the turmoil. And we continue, of course, to do that, whatever the circumstances.
Driving clients around the bend more like, OK, let's have your expert analysis on yesterday's performance on the markets then, please.
In Europe, stocks rose yesterday. Gains we saw in the car maker consumer products helped by better than expected results from Unilever that we were talking about yesterday. However, concerns around the state of the US economy pushed stocks into the red, snapping a four-day winning streak on Wall Street. As day suggested, the recovery in the United States could well be stalling, with the first tick up in jobless claims since March, signaling the labour market may start to struggle. Just at, of course, a time when federal aid starts to wind down for people and for companies, although we know that policymakers are debating an extension to those measures. Initial claims increased to 1.42 million last week, up 109,000. Alongside that, 16.2 million Americans continue to file for ongoing benefits. I think investors have been betting the easing of lockdown restrictions would allow activity and labour markets to recover. Recent economic data, coronavirus numbers as well, is causing them to reconsider that assumption. Technology was actually the big loser yesterday. What a tremendous performance that we've seen from technology during the course of this year. The Nasdaq, as we know, has been very strong, up around about 25%, but did give back some of those gains yesterday, 2.3% worth, turning lower for the week, erasing Monday's large gain. Weakness in Alphabet, Amazon and Apple. Microsoft shares also slumping after saying cloud growth would be slower. S&P 500 had closed down 1.2%. No surprise that weakness that we've seen on Wall Street will be reflected at the European Open this morning, where we're currently calling the FTSE down 57 points. DAX 7 in Frankfurt down 146 points. CAC 40 in Paris off 60 points.
Yes, it's a fair point you make about technology, because if it hadn't been for technology such as Zoom and Skype and Twitter and Facebook over the last couple of months, the world might have collapsed.
Well, we know that companies have, and if you look at businesses, have been adopting technology at a much faster rate than was originally anticipated as a result of the lockdown from the pandemic. They've kept the world moving. Virtual conferences, allowing people to work from home. So that's been an important concept, and you continue to see, I think, greater investment from companies. Those adoption rates pick up at a much faster pace than anticipated. And you see that through every walk of life, but particularly you see it amongst the retailers, of course. Lots of people who weren't buying online have decided to follow that route now, and companies need to adapt to meet that change in demand.
So where are you going on holiday then?
Well, I will still be here in Switzerland, but I will probably wander down to Montreux for a little bit, which is a favourite part of the world for me and my family. So I'll enjoy that for a certain amount of time and then decide where to go from there.
Lovely. OK, what a surprise. The latest round of Brexit talks have broken up without an agreement. Now, you know, don't give us all this, though. The government's decided that's the way it's going to go. And, you know, and no doubt they'll make the best of it. Just give us the cold, hard economic reality of the situation, please.
Well, the cold, hard economic reality of the facts is that, yes, I think the talks are not making the progress that was once hoped. The both sides saying they're far from a deal. But I think if you look beyond the headlines, there are apparent signs of a compromise starting to take shape, particularly in some of the key areas, how an accord will be structured, the role of the European Court of Justice will have in terms of policing that deal, how far Britain will have to or will be required to apply state aid rules. But there are still some areas of significant disagreement. Fishing rights, although fishing isn't a huge part of the UK economy, you could argue that the symbolic nature of fishing and the idea actually much of Brexit, has, the debate has been centred around the idea of sovereignty and democracy, then that perhaps is seen as a showcase for that concept and therefore has become far more important in this process than perhaps it should have been the case. The level playing field continues to be important. The idea that you'll see the same level of workers and environmental rights in the UK maintained as you see within the European Union. Where do we go from here? That's the important thing. Well, the talks, the discussions, negotiations will continue. The next formal round, I don't think, starts until September. Remember, that's ahead of you going to the European summit meeting in the middle of October. I think as you look towards that, the hope is that we will start to see a compromise at the 11th hour, as typical between the UK and the European Union. And that's, of course, before the UK leaves the European Union single market, the customs union, at the end of the year. What's at risk? Well, if they fail to reach an agreement by then, businesses will, of course, face the imposition of tariffs and quotas.
I have a lot of sympathy for trawler men. It's a very, very hard job. In fact, I spent quite a lot of time on a small fishing boat back in the 1980s. And, you know, you wouldn't want to do that job unless you actually had to. But it still only accounts for 0.1% of the economy.
Yeah, very small part of the economy. But I said it's symbolic in terms of the idea that the UK will be able to start to make its own rules and laws and hold its borders and all these types of concepts that we heard so much about before the Brexit vote. And therefore, yeah, plays an important part in terms of the discussions, even though, as I say, the economic impact is probably less than it might suggest.
So do you think Boris will build a wall under the Channel to stop the fish flouncing off to France, or is that just a bit...
I don't know. Well, he's thinking about a bridge to Northern Ireland, of course. So yeah, a bridge and a tunnel might even be a step too far for Mr. Johnson.
I can't believe that they brought that up again yesterday. It was, who was it, Brandon Lewis, the Northern Ireland Secretary, sort of expressing optimism that a bridge between Scotland and Northern Ireland would be built at some time in the future.
You don't think that's going to be possible? You don't think that's likely to happen?
I think
in terms of the economic benefit of that would be absolutely huge. I mean,
ask the engineers.
Yeah.
It's one of the most treacherous crossings of water in the world, and it's very, very deep. So it'd be an absolutely amazing feat if they could actually build it. But I'll take you back to the Garden Bridge. how much money was wasted on that? Was it £40 million and never saw the light of day?
Yeah, the Garden Bridge. I think it would need to be something a little bit more substantial than the Garden Bridge, as you say, in order to make that work. But there are bridges around the world that you can take inspiration from in some difficult parts of Asia and so forth, where we've seen those introduced. So perhaps it will be possible. And listen, as Tony Blair told us, we're at our best when we're at our bravest. Let's try and think about this new modern world.
OK, well, I'll tell you what, if the bridge between Scotland and Northern Ireland sees the light of day before I pop my clogs, I'll buy you a glass of Liebfrau milk.
Well, you owe me a number of bottles of wine already, so I'll add that to the list.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.27 this morning. Euro dollar continues to show strength up to 1.16. You get €1.095 for your British pound this morning.
Well, I'd just like to thank you for all your input over the years and months that have gone by, and have a lovely holiday.
Thank you, my friend, and you enjoy yourself on your extended vacation stroke sabbatical, and let's renew this acquaintance towards the end of the summer.
Well, the start of September it'll be. All right. Offy Toddle.
Have a good day.
Bye. Hank Potts and Barclays. It's 4 minutes away from nine. I forgot to say Friday's amongst us best day of the week.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. The French Prime Minister Jean Castex is to visit Nice in the coming days. Mr. Castex says he will come with concrete offers of ways to increase public safety in high-rise areas of the city that are rife with drugs and other crime. The Prime Minister is responding to Monday's serious incident in the Moulin district, during which a gang of armed men is reported to chase somebody else down the street before shooting him in the foot. A number of empty shell cases were found outside a local supermarket following the incident, which Mr. Castex has described as completely unacceptable. As Mr. Castex was speaking, another firearms incident was being reported in Grasse, where two men were injured by gunshots near the Quatre Chemins roundabout on Thursday afternoon. One of those shot has been rushed to hospital in a serious condition. Meanwhile, the French Interior Minister, Gérald Darmanin, made a surprise visit to Nice yesterday afternoon to discuss security issues with local officials. Mr. Darmanin visited the Moulin area before attending a meeting at the Prefecture. Later on Thursday, he paid a visit to French Border Force officers in Monson. The French Transport Minister said the Paris-Nice-Nice train service is to resume within the next 2 years. Jean-Baptiste Djebbari made the announcement as part of government plans to invest several billion euros in SNCF services. The Paris-Nice-Nice train was withdrawn from service in 2016, following a decision by former French President François Hollande, much to the dismay of regular passengers. Improving rail services is a key part of government transport policy, as efforts are made to reduce carbon emissions and improve environmental standards. A convicted Italian sex offender has been arrested in Nice after several years on the run. The man who repeatedly sexually and physically assaulted his former partner at their home in Asti in front of their five-year-old daughter fled during his trial in 2016 and was convicted in absentia. Italian police have not ceased in their efforts to find him and finally tracked him down to Nice, where French officers arrested him on Thursday. He's now been returned to Italy to serve a six-year jail sentence. Police in Antibes have closed the Plage des Ondes owing to a sewage leak coming from a private waste pipe on the Avenue Maréchal Juin. Authorities moved to rapidly clear the beach on Thursday as soon as they became aware of the leak, which has now been repaired. Tests on the water have been carried out and swimming should be allowed again from midday today, all being well. And a suspected fire at the municipal tip at Lorgues in the Var has turned out to be a false alarm. 17 firefighters rushed to the tip on the Chemin de Girard following reports of a fire. On closer inspection, it turned out that fumes were being produced from some blocks of chlorine, which were being stored in a shed on the site. In national news today, French health authorities have reported more than 1,000 new coronavirus cases in the past 24 hours, including 10 new clusters of the infection. Public Health France says that infection rates are increasing, and there have been 3,589 cases of COVID-19 recorded over the past week, a 27% increase on the previous week. The public is advised to self-isolate and get tested as soon as possible if any symptoms of coronavirus are experienced, however mild. There is a warning that people are not getting tested quickly enough following the onset of symptoms, with some leaving it for up to a week before seeking medical advice. 30,182 people have died from COVID-19 in France since the start of the epidemic. 5,957 people are currently receiving hospital treatment, with 436 in intensive care. Severe cases requiring ventilations have increased by 83 over the past week. And a lawyer acting for the family of five children who were killed in a car accident on the A7 motorway in the Drôme department on Monday night has said that the car manufacturer Renault will have to answer for the tragedy. Nine people, including the five dead children, were in the Renault Scenic when it burst into flames, left the road and rolled over, trapping the driver and passengers inside. Initial reports suggested the brakes had failed, but a technical expert who's examined the wreckage now says the vehicle's turbo broke, resulting in the fire. The four survivors of the crash, who include a seven-year-old child, are being treated in hospital in Lyon for severe burns and other injuries. The family's lawyer says that human error has been ruled out as the cause of the accident and that Renault must face justice. The 2005 model car had been due to undergo a control technique in the spring, but the legal requirement was pushed back to the autumn under a government-approved delay owing to the coronavirus lockdown.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Cricket. The third and final test between England and West Indies gets underway at Old Trafford today, with both sides still in with a chance of winning the series. West Indies won the first test at Southampton, with England winning the second test. Jofra Archer's back for England after serving a one-match suspension for breaking England's biosecure bubble before the second test. Ben Stokes still has a groin niggle and may not be able to bowl. The West Indies captain Jason Holder has told his side to keep pushing as the tourists look for a first series victory in England for 32 years. Football, the final day of the English Premier League season, will be played on Sunday with several issues still to be resolved. One of Manchester United, Chelsea or Leicester will miss out on the Champions League place next season, while at the bottom, two out of Bournemouth, Watford and Aston Villa will join Norwich in being relegated. We'll take a check on the fixtures after the latest from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, this is Joe Parsons at the BBC Sports Centre. Liverpool Football Club say they're disappointed in supporters who didn't stay at home to celebrate the club lifting the Premier League trophy. Around 3,000 people gathered outside Anfield on Wednesday night. Nine were arrested. Harry Maguire says tiredness is no excuse for Manchester United as they go into their final game of the season on Sunday at fifth-place Leicester. United are third in the table, and a point would be enough to secure a top four finish and a place in next season's Champions League.
We're not using it as an excuse. We're ready for Sunday. We're not tired at all in terms of our mind. Yeah, the legs maybe a bit feel it, but we've got a few days to recover now, and 3 days I think we've got till our next game, which seems a long time at the moment because it's normally two. So,
Mikel Arteta says Arsenal's underachievement this season hurts him, but next season will be a beautiful challenge. The club can finish no higher than eighth in the Premier League, but can win the FA Cup for a record 14th time. However, the manager says this isn't good enough for the fans.
For me, this club deserves the best, and you have to be fighting for every title. Obviously, after everything that happened, if we are able to win the final and qualify for Europe, we can say that it's okay, but it's not the level for this football club.
And the former Arsenal boss, Unai Emery, has been appointed as manager of the La Liga side, Villarreal, on a 3-year deal. The 48-year-old Spaniard has been out of work since being sacked by Arsenal in November after 18 months in charge. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League Update from the home of Premier League football.
So, on Sunday, Arsenal play Watford, Burnley host Brighton, Chelsea play Wolves, Crystal Palace host Spurs, Everton play Bournemouth, Leicester face Manchester United, Manchester City play Norwich, Newcastle host Liverpool, Southampton face Sheffield United, and West Ham play Aston Villa. At the top then, Leicester City in fifth with 62 points, Chelsea 63, Manchester United 63. And who would have thought that the final game of the season would be between Manchester United and Leicester, with both of them needing points to get that Champions League place? I'd say United would have to be favourites at the moment. Chelsea at home to Wolves, well, that's not going to be easy, because Wolves are looking for a European spot as well, and they could just sneak into sixth place if United beat Leicester and they beat Chelsea. So we'll see at the bottom. Well, I don't know, what's going to happen there? I would say that possibly Aston Villa have a chance against West Ham, because West Ham is safe. Can't see Bournemouth really getting anything. And Watford have a very difficult job at Arsenal as well. Finally, golf. Renato Paratore of Italy leads at the halfway mark of the British Masters at Close House, Newcastle. The Italian is yet to drop a shot and followed his opening 65 with a 66 to reach 11 under par. England's Dale Whitnall is in second place on 10 under, alongside Justin Harding of South Africa. Lee Westwood just made the cut thanks to a level par 71, which leaves him on 1 under, 10 shots behind the leader.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaraz Sea and the Var, the general situation is a depression, 1,010 millibars between Corsica, the Côte d'Azur and the Ligurian Sea. Winds are southerly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap Ferrat, 1,010 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 2 to 4. Southeasterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 4 to 6. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,011 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Sunshine with the chance of some afternoon showers in places, and more thunder forecast for the mountains. Moderate to strong westerly winds developing this afternoon, particularly across the Var and also the tail end of the Almaraz Seam as well. Highs of 27 to 33 degrees today. Overnight lows 21 degrees on the coast, 18 degrees inland with clear skies. The weekend, clear skies, highs of 27 to 31 degrees. Finally, more news about chocolates. For decades, Ritter Sport has marketed its chocolate bars on their unique square shape. Do you like Ritter Sport? Oh, it's really good, especially that one with the biscuit in it, with the brown cover. I haven't had any for ages, actually. You can't always find it. So when rival brand Milka challenged its German monopoly on square chocolate, the battle lines were drawn. And Milka achieved an initial victory in 2016 by getting the trademark deleted, but that ruling was overturned. Now, finally, the case ended up in the Federal Court of Justice, where judges have now thrown out Milka's complaints and ruled in favour of Ritter Sports. Now, the square bar dates back to 1932, when Clara Ritter came up with the idea, according to company legend, let's make a chocolate bar that fits in everyone's jacket pockets without breaking and weighs the same as a normal bar, as she's supposed to have said. Although, she said it in German. What's the point of putting a chocolate bar in your inside pocket? It would melt. By 1970, it had come up with his slogan, Quadratisch Prakisch Gut. Sorry, Germans, that's terrible. Quality chocolate squared, as the company likes to translate it. Now, the family company registered the shape with the German Patents and Trademark Office in 1993. So when Milka began marketing a square bar in 2010, the case went to court. And Milka, which is now owned by Mondelez, as is Cadbury's, won round one in the federal patent courts, but that ruling was later thrown out, and the patent court decided the following year that Ritter could keep its three-dimensional monopoly. And normally a brand cannot claim protection in Germany if its shape gives the product an essential value, but the judges in the case said Ritter Sport was different. Now, consumers considered the square nature of the chocolate bar as an indication of both where the chocolate came from and its quality, they concluded. They said there was no artistic value to the shape and it did not lead to differences in price. Now, the ruling means the incumbent bar can remain the only top brand square chocolate bar on the shelves in German shops. Do try the one with biscuit in it. You won't be disappointed. I can't remember where I last... I think they had it in Decathlon in Antibes for some reason. That's good, isn't it? Sports shop selling chocolate.